And it's a truth that must be lived in consciousness. To ignore it is to lose the treasures of the kingdom in your daily experience. All that the Father has, I have. Because I and the Father have no separation between us. God is flowing, individualizing as that which I am. All infinity, I am. God can never be less than infinity. And God is flowing as my individuality. I am individually infinite. The human mind cannot understand it, but I am. Nothing can be withheld in your being. The birth of this idea in you leads to the union of the bride who is adorned for her husband. And this is your soul being wedded to your spirit. To feel this as John did, that his soul and spirit were being one, is to reveal to us what happens in your true being. Soul and spirit being one is already a fact in being. Your soul and your spirit are one. But this seeing it happen is the expansion of consciousness to become aware of that which already is. John is revealing what already is and is becoming conscious of that which already is. Your soul and your spirit are one. And your soul is expressing the fullness of your spirit. And your spirit is expressing the fullness of Christ, which is the totality of God individualizing as your being. We can at this moment accept the presence of a consciousness far different than our human minds right here. The ever-present divine consciousness. Everything we can think of or try to think of already complete in this consciousness which is here. It knows all that there is to know about all reality. It is here. And if you walk across the street, it is there. And if you walk on the other side of the veil, it is there. And if you go back 200 years, it is there. It has always been everywhere. And therefore here, where this consciousness is everywhere to it. It is everywhere and here. And when you are aware of its here-ness, it being everywhere connects you with infinity. In my conscious union with the consciousness of God here, I am one with all who walk in spirit. And who are they? They are myself. You're not alone, and yet you're the only being. I believe that when you will accept that you are the only being, even though I know you cannot hold this round the clock, when you will accept it, that you are the only being, as many of you have heard on the tapes, and when you attain not just a mental acceptance of it, but the experience of it, you will want to return again and again to that experience. There's no substitute for it. It really is the seamless robe. I am I, and I has no other. Therefore, I am the infinite I, which has no opposite. I am being, and there's no other being than being. Now, when this is your consciousness, the fourth world of human experience bursts at the seams with all kinds of wonderful and strange activity. It's like the disciples at Pentecost appearing drunk. But the activities that rain into your visible life on earth are blessed. They're blessed because there is no separation in consciousness. And there can be hundreds and thousands of incredible things happening, all for the better, all showing forth that because you are living as being without opposite, you have touched the magic substance and the magic power. And these are the encouragements you need to give you the confidence to walk further into the unknown as a spiritual pilgrim. To expect to have this being light its own path. And as you do, you will find what John is finding, that soul and spirit are merging the fifth and sixth worlds. Actually, spirit is leading soul higher into a greater awareness of itself. All of this is internal. It has nothing to do with what you do out in this world, but it shows forth through grace as what we call manifestation or demonstration or visible experience. You see how clearly you have overcome body sense, which was limiting, which confined, which pushed us back into this moment of passing time. How you overcome negative thought, and how you even overcome positive thought. Because all that is flowing through in that consciousness is divine infinity. Infinite thought. Infinite manifestation. And man's concept of infinite manifestation becomes visible as things of this world. The things of this world you see under grace are still images, but they are now images of infinite divine manifestation. Blessed images. And they will be your signposts that you're on your way to the moment of transition. I think I'd like to just look at John another moment before we meditate on transition. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." Well, of course, when I is your name, God is with you because I is God. John is seeing the acceptance of I as your identity. He is seeing the entire process of acceptance as a finished fact. Emmanuel. Now, will tomorrow's headlines or today's headlines, whatever they are, pull you out of your seventh-day consciousness? And if they do, will you recognize that that is what has happened? Will you be ready to turn away from that which is a wriggling serpent on the ground and look up at the brass serpent on top of the building and see it isn't moving? Can you remember the brazen serpent that does not move while the world is screaming with its claims? I'm sure you can. For this truly is the way to the transition into the fifth world. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I, in the midst of you, accept it as consciousness, as living self, as substance, as the very being that you are, as the infinity without opposite, shall wipe away all tears. Again, the fourth commandment is shown to be the key to living in reality. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Be sure to look again at this 21st chapter of John, because it is telling you what happens when you accept the fourth commandment in its pure form and live consciously in the seventh day. Now, as we do this daily, and we are strong and able to maintain some degree of fidelity there, something is happening. Something that happens no other way. It's like the young bird in the nest of the mother. Something is happening to that bird. It's being trained up there so that it can fly. As we are standing in I, infinite I, eternal I, we are being trained so that we can fly. This new consciousness that we are accepting is becoming stronger. We have to have this new consciousness to survive in the fifth world. We won't have the physical form appearance anymore. We'll be living soul, living in a soul form, which is quite different than the physical form. The soul form is more like a body of truth, which has no shape or size. Like God itself, which has no shape or size. There is a body of soul, which is an incorporeal body. And the word body, as we know it in humanhood, does not fit it. But we use it because there is no better word at the moment. There is a body of law, but it's not a physical body. This soul body becomes your soul consciousness, which supports you in the fifth world, where you are enabled then to prepare for this union with your own spirit. Again, It is the becoming conscious of a union that already exists. And it is the preliminary step to the birth of Christ in consciousness. In other words, what you're doing now is a preparation for the total living experience of the infinite I. Let us see now in the meditation on transition, if we can in some way become aware of just what that word means. At the last trump, says Paul, we shall rise into a new level of being. Bread you cast upon the waters will return unto you. And that bread is the purity of your consciousness now, or the impurity of it. That bread is the seed of every so-called tomorrow. As your consciousness becomes more and more the consciousness of the Father, as you eliminate the second mind, the human mind, the mind that never was, as you learn to dwell in the one consciousness, the one divine mind, by accepting the truth of being, that which is called transition ceases to be transition. It is even higher. It is the experience now of what you are. And in the experience of what you are, you attain what is called the first resurrection. You literally are able to live in the fifth world before the body passes out of the fourth. Your transition, your resurrection occurs in the fourth world, here. Here you attain the first resurrection. You become aware of yourself as a being with no boundaries. And as this particular understanding becomes more permanent, more established, and you find yourself living as a person, different than other persons, no longer living in the personal sense of self, but living without boundaries, and yet living in a body that has no boundaries, living in a substance that is uninfluenced by this world. As you become fully conscious of this, the whole idea of transition changes. You simply are in the fifth level of consciousness, or the soul realm. And to you, the remaining appearance of a body is just excess baggage that you put up with. It's an appendage like a tonsil that you don't need. But it will remain there until the bird can fly. Until you are truly self-sustaining without blemish. You are to attain this degree of consciousness. Within a certain period called human time, within this incarnation, for you the veil vanishes. It is no longer a veil. You are everywhere. You cannot be bounded. You have seen the angel cast the dragon to the bottomless pit. For you, there is no more world. There is only my kingdom. And then the Father calls you worthy. Washed, no longer a stranger. To me, this is not just a possibility or a probability. It is the way prescribed by the Christ. And one day, the inner voice will say, "Your time has come. You are now a permanent resident of the kingdom of God. In your consciousness, you have attained the awareness of the kingdom. Wear the robe. You have threaded the robe by purifying your beliefs of all that is untrue, by serving the Spirit and letting the acts of your being show forth the purity of your consciousness. You have earned the robe that you wear, and you wear it within yourself. Then there is no darkness. There is no time. You are on both sides of the stars. If this to you is futuristic, you are not accepting your name. If it is beyond your reach, you are not accepting your name. It is this knowledge which enables you to stop crucifying the Christ of your own being. But rather to evacuate the sense of humanhood which automatically has been our way of crucifying the Christ. In your consciousness of I, you are accepting immortality. And until you have accepted immortality, the laws of mortality will govern you. You must live in the seventh day, for it is the key to the kingdom of God. Again, as we are moving with dedication in the directions prescribed by the Spirit of Christ through Moses, through Jesus, through Paul, through your own being, we find that at every step of the way, new help comes, because the Father knoweth your needs. And now, as you are poised at this pinnacle of acceptance, waiting, wondering, trying to feel what is expected of you, if your inner motives are pure, Spirit knoweth your needs. The Father who seeth in secret means the Father who knows your motives, because the Father is the spirit of your own being. If your motives are pure, and pure means to fulfill the will of the Father, then the reward follows, and the reward is the next step. Always the next step. Every time you obey a commandment with fidelity, another doorway opens, because each one leads to the next doorway. Dwell, if you can, between now and tonight, on the meaning of honoring your father and your mother. How strange that Jesus forever says, "My Father doeth the works." He never says, "My mother doeth the works." In fact, he hardly alludes to the commandment, "Honor thy father and thy mother." Or at least we don't see it in those words. And yet it was very important to the Christ, expressing through Moses as the fifth commandment. Why? Honor thy father and thy mother. And you'll find that is the assistance you need to carry you further into your acceptance that I am the infinite I. Think about it. And practice the seventh-day consciousness as best you can, not just tonight, today, tomorrow, but from this point onward, for it is the living kingdom of God expressing on earth. You will see how quickly you step away from those in the fourth world, how quickly you can identify those in the fourth world. They're three worlds away, and they appear in the same world as you do. We are moving out of darkness now into light, and soon our light will shine. I'll see you later tonight. Thanks again.